One more for good measure. Oh, okay, good. Anybody ever do that to make a decision? And did you ever do that? You keep flipping till you get the answer you wanted? Yeah. So, well, yeah, is there another way, right? Somebody said, I desperately need someone to give me advice and tell me to do the thing I want to do. You know we know what we want, right? From our personal will, it's really clear what we want. It's not always the best and highest for us, though. And we know that, too. And sometimes we'll even persist with flipping the coin when we know that's the truth, right? So today we're talking about the power of will. And there's a whole spectrum on the power of will, right? Of willfulness and willingness and the willpower and the will to act, and so much to unpack in just this one power. So we're in a 12 power series right now. One of the teachings of unity is that we have these 12 innate powers. And so we're looking at that through the summer. And today, obviously, is this power of will. Tracy Ash is this spiritual teacher that I just recently became acquainted with, and I was watching a video of hers. She lives in this really powerful space in one of the sacred spots in Egypt, very close to some of those sacred spots, and has created a hotel, an eco-lodge, and a place for retreats there. And she was talking about how there are seven gateways to consciousness. She didn't go into the details, but she just said these words. There's seven gateways to consciousness. When we enter them, we unfold into the 12, and then that unfolds into 144. It was really interesting because I was thinking about, you know, in Hebrew numerology that's present throughout the Bible, seven means physical completion. 12 means spiritual completion. And remember in Revelation, 144,000 will be the ascending souls, right? The ones who ascend to heaven. And so when we understand this a little bit more metaphysically and in the context of what we are all working with together this summer, and what Michelle is about to share with you on Tuesday, the embodied chakras, we can think about the seven as the gateways of consciousness as entering those seven chakras. And as we do, it unfolds further to the 12 powers. And as we each activate those energy centers in us, activate these 12 powers within us, we become a light-filled being, which is the truth of who we are anyway. We uncover whatever is in the way, essentially, to be that shiny light and essence of love that we've come here to be. And when we do that, there is a multiplication into the collective consciousness. That 144 is a number that represents all of us awakening, or at least a critical mass of us awakening to tip the scales for all of us to awaken. And so it's really a powerful way to think about as we work with these energy centers and powers. It's not just a fun thing to look at and a quality to consider each week in and of itself. It comes together as a holistic system. And the powers work together with one another. So the more versed we get in understanding them and what they represent and how we can use them, the more we raise up our entire vibration to come into that wholeness, that truth of who we have come here to be. And as each one of us does this, we are feeding into that collective energy. It's really fun to think you can change the world by following your spiritual path, isn't it? But it's true. And I think all of us in this room have touched that at different times in our lives and recognize, it doesn't have to be all this hard work of, like, you know, sometimes things in life feel like you're just pushing a boulder uphill, right? And it's like, wow, if I just let it, you know, if I just opened myself a little more to receive, I would see the clear day ahead. I would see the clear path ahead. I would see the clear way ahead. And things would become so much easier. We all know this on our spiritual journey, that the practices that we have when we go back to those practices, life works better. Have you found that to be true? Yeah, and when we stray from them, we start to try to do everything ourselves through our own mental capacity and our own physical energy, and it runs out. It runs dry because there is a limitation there. But there's not a limitation when we are infused with spirit, when we are resting on those spiritual principles. So will is a really key one for us because it crosses the border between these ideas of reception, of willingness, of openness, and action. Will is the power to act. Will is the power to choose, to make it happen. But when it's based in this powerful space of a willingness and a listening to spirit, it has no limits whatsoever. So could we will it to happen that everybody wakes up upon the earth? Yes, we could, if we so choose. So will is found in the body. There's a energy center in the body that is in the prefrontal cortex of the brain, right next to understanding. So the silver part that you see there on the left side of the prefrontal cortex is where the power of will sits. And remember last week we talked about the power of understanding, so that would be the more right brain prefrontal cortex. And I don't know if you can see, there's a tiny dot I put in there. It looks like it moved around, but it's supposed to be there on the third eye, or the first eye, which is the power of imagination. So you can see where these work together. These three can work together. Understanding is golden, and therefore signified by gold, and will is silver. You can think of, it's got a little bit of a mystery to it, sort of like that silver moonlight is maybe one way you can remember that. So what about this willfulness thing? How does that fit in, you know? So, yeah, right. And we laugh because we know we can all be willful at times, right? Some of us more than others, and some of us more at certain times than others. Somebody at the Unity Convention, one of my friends, told me, do you know what the U in Unity stands for? And I said, no. And she said, you can't tell me what to do. So we find ourselves here, don't we? You know, loving that individual path, that idea that I will carve out my own way. So don't give me too much guidance, or certainly don't give me any dogma, right? But a little guidance is all right. I'll take a little bit of guidance is typically where we land on that. You know, this willful idea is something that we develop naturally, right, as kids about age 2 to 3, that toddler stage when we learn to say no. And some kids really like to say it a lot. No, no, no. Everything is no, right? Anything that's proposed is no. And it's that finding that power within, right, that ability to say no. It has consequence too, though, doesn't it, when we use it in our adult lives or beyond that time. Maybe it has consequence when we're kids too. I was thinking about my niece and how strong-willed she was when she was a kid, especially around that age, especially like about 3 years old. And I took her to take your daughter to work day. And even though I spent time with my nieces and nephews, not having raised a child myself, when my sister forewarned me that she's going to fight you on everything when you're getting ready in the morning, I was like, okay, no problem. It's like, she's not going to want to wear the dress. She's going to want to wear the overall shorts. That's all she wants to wear now. She's not going to want to brush her teeth. She's not, you know. I was like, I got this, sis. Don't worry about it, you know. And per my usual way of doing things, I gave myself an extra 15 minutes to get ready and to get her ready. Well, it was a very stressful morning. We finally got out the door and got to work. And then she said she's also probably not going to go use the restroom when it's convenient, you know. So there would be a break, right, in the activities of the day, and it'd be like, time to use the potty. Nope, not Nicole. And so then later we'd have an accident to deal with. So luckily I brought a change of clothes. But it was like this with everything, you know. Like, she wouldn't learn to swim when it was time to learn to swim. And she told us all that she already knew how, even though clearly she didn't know how. And now she likes to surf, and I think she wishes she was a stronger swimmer. So, but, you know, it also, when we are willful, it can be a positive thing in terms of our strong-willed nature. Because I see for my niece now as a young woman how she goes after her goals and her dreams and she makes them happen. She uses that executive power of will to follow through, to achieve, to manifest, to co-create what it is that she dreams about. So everything we know, how if we find ourselves in this description of willfulness, we also know the gift that we bring of will in that as well. And so we learn how to balance things for ourselves so it can be most effective. If we show up with an overdeveloped will, we might, you know, push people over a little bit too much, and that, which may push people away. So then we learn how to use that in another way. If we're overdeveloped in our will, we may think that, you know, I got this, I got the answers, I know what to do, and we may not always stop and listen to other perspectives as much, or even spirit as much, right? We may not slow down and listen. Oh, I see a couple arguments going on right now. That's funny. No, you're willful. No, you're willful. You're more willful than me. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to call anybody out about that. I'll have to beg for forgiveness on that one. So there can be consequences, right, to how we show up with willfulness. And so there's that overdeveloped will, but what about the underdeveloped will? If our power of will is underdeveloped, then we can be really indecisive, what some people might call wishy-washy, which can cause a lot of confusion for ourselves and for others that we're in relationship with, and inaction. Right? So then there's missed opportunities with that. If we're not decisive, we miss opportunities all the time. So it's finding that sweet spot between this. As Jesus put it for this underdeveloped will, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Very clear, right? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And know that you won't please everybody in that process. And that's okay, too. You know, that's usually a part of that underdeveloped will. So what about God's will? Because, you know, many of us were taught that there's, you know, there's the will of God, which is something seemingly separate or different than what we might know or be able to perceive. Of course, in our teachings, we understand that there isn't separation between what is the divine or God, or source in ourselves, that we are one with that essence. Therefore, there can't really be a schism between God's will and our will. We can, though, distance ourselves from spirit, and again, just think we got this from an intellectual standpoint, and not really be listening at that deeper level. So really, this question of God's will comes down to, what is God to you? What is spirit or source or the divine to you? And do you believe it is separate or some kind of entity that is outside of you that is punishing and rewarding? Because that's really where we get tripped up with that whole idea of God's will. And once we get to a place where we no longer believe that there's that separation, then it becomes easy to see that our will and the divine will are truly one. Our real will, our true will, our heart's desire, not just a passing fantasy, but our fancy, but our heart's desire. And that is one with the one. So when we attune with our deeper heart desires, we attune then with the divine will, and we can more easily follow that. When we do this, when we follow that, what happens for us is what co-founder Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said: letting go of 1,001 dense ideas that make the soul opaque to the eye of spirit. When we follow spirit in this way, it lets go of all the ways that our soul is become opaque to spirit, and it clears the way. It makes it a clear day, a clear way to see, and a clear alignment and connection. So we can take the high road then from within. The operative word for will is choice. It's what we choose to do, right? And we have this in the form of free will. the gift of free will, the power to choose whatever is best for us on our journey, whatever is the highest and best good in any given moment. We always have that opportunity. Whatever is best for our long-term goals versus the immediate gratifications and distractions of life. And our culture sure likes to serve those up, doesn't it? So there's constant, you know, even when you're on your device, there's a constant pop-up, right, for an immediate gratification of some kind or distraction of some kind. And so our society has become that way, which makes it a more deliberate choice to stay the course, to allow ourselves to set our course and then stay the course toward whatever it is we want to ultimately manifest, what it is that we are envisioning that we ultimately want to move into and live and breathe and have its being in us. Romans 7 speaks to this idea. It says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And this I keep on doing. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Who knew Romans 7 could be so funny, you know? Turns out Paul had a sense of humor. But isn't it true that when we are struggling with willpower, we will maybe find ourselves reaching for whatever that immediate gratification or distraction is, and it'll take us off course. And so we recognize that there is something in us that does this, and that's something that we just work with along the way, right? Until we recognize that the benefit is so much greater for whatever it is that we are wishing to do. You know, I've experienced myself and seen other people in my life struggle with weight gain and been on and off diets and on and off different programs. And it seems like when you get down to, well, why do I want to do this? If it's just a superficial, I want to look good because that's the, you know, the ideal woman or the ideal man's look in our world, then it sort of stays at that superficial place. But if it becomes a more grounded place, like of health and wholeness, then it seems to open up and get some legs. And then it's like, oh, I can stay this course because there's so many other things that come with this. And so that's just one example of the ways that we can open up the underlying value, the real reason, the purpose why I want this thing, and come back to that again and again. It helps us stay our course. It helps us apply our will. When the will is ready, Proverbs says, the feet are light. The highest expression of will, then, is willingness, our willingness to be guided, our willingness to give conscious consent to the divine will within us to guide our way. And first, of course, we have to make contact with Spirit. We have to make that connection. You know, in the early days of Unity, pre-Unity, really, before it was officially a movement, Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, was taking in so much different information. It was all new. I mean, he started liking Shakespeare and Emerson, but when he got exposed to all these New Thought teachings, and then he started studying Eastern religion, and, you know, all this stuff, it was just like, oh my gosh, there's my mind's going to explode, it seems like he would almost say. You know, there's so many things to take in. What he actually said was, in this babble, I'm going to headquarters. And if this Spirit and I are connected, as they all say we are, if we are one, then I'm going to experience that, you know, essentially is what he said. And so he decided, well, the way to do this is supposedly to sit in silence. And so he took it like he was a businessman, you know, he had a scientific left-brained kind of guy. And so he took it on like an experiment. And so he would sit in the silence at an appointed time every day. And he said, at first, it was cold and calculated, and I felt nothing. But I kept doing it. So he was good at that will, that disciplined part of himself that would allow him to do it day after day after day. And after a while, things started to open up. It was through the silence that he heard Unity, for the name of our movement. It was through the silence that many things occurred in the early days of our movement. And I can see where Myrtle and Charles were this like perfect companionship of spiritual teachers, because she was really more the understanding piece, right? She received the realizations early on. She was really, I mean, you could say in essence, she was our founder, because she was the one who had the first experiences and this dawning of understanding. And then Charles really took it and ran with it and put a lot of the pieces in place so that we had the structure to make all this happen that we stand on today. And if you think about then, if you have these two pieces working together, and then that first eye, you have a similar vision. Your vision is one and the same of what can be, what is possible, how powerful that is. So when we come together in a group or even a couple or, you know, a couple of friends, it doesn't matter what the conditions of our relationships, but whatever it is that we might envision together, it's helpful to have somebody who will be that more right-brained kind of receptive one, and somebody who will be more that left-brain executive faculty, let's get it done and lay out our steps and our objectives and have it happen. And so, so it's that beautiful connection between the two that can be so powerful. Charles Fillmore said about the power of will that the will is the executive faculty of the mind that carries out the edicts of the I am. That really sums it up right there, that there is a connection to the I am and that the will allows us to think it through and to take the actions, to make the choices. Has anybody seen the movie Barbie? Yeah, all right. And laughter and claps as well. So those who have seen it really liked it. So I've not seen that many people in a movie theater since long before COVID. We went Friday night and it was absolutely packed and it was a sea of pink. So you might know to wear pink ahead of time. I didn't know. So after Barbie travels through Barbie land, this is to show you that it's not just about like Charles and Myrtle and these folks that, you know, that but even the doll Barbie can show us the way, right? We have a lot of way showers in our lives. So Barbie travels from Barbie land to the real world in the movie. I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone. But there is a point when she's having a conversation with Ruth, her creator from Mattel, and she's now, because she's gone to the real world, she's become real, right? So there's a lot more available to her now than when she was just this doll. And she has this realization, this experience of understanding while she's having the conversation that maybe she's always been thinking of herself as just a thing, a toy, something that gets put in a box. But actually, and she's telling her creator this, right? So this isn't lost on us. She's telling her creator this, and then she realizes that actually she doesn't want to just be a thing. She doesn't want to just be a toy. She doesn't want to just be, for us, a human being. She wants to be a creator too. And so she speaks to that power of imagination. Suddenly, like, you can almost see it happening. It's like, poof, there goes the gold, right? Wow, there goes the sky blue, suddenly activated. And then what will happen next? The silver, hopefully, the silver will light up and the will light up and we'll take the actions we need to take in order to co-create, in order to step into what we could possibly imagine that we could be, that life could be, that whatever situation we are in could possibly be. And then we need the will to follow through, to say yes to it and to take the steps, to put the feet to our prayers. That's what will does for us. So without the will, if we ourselves need a boost of will, we need to call in the folks who can help us, right? Bring in the community members that can help us. Ignite the spiritual powers that will give us the lift to take the actions that we need to do to follow through so that we can make it all happen. So all that happens in that conversation with Barbie, that there is this igniting of these three powers that work so beautifully together. So with a mindset of willingness, the I am will encourage us to do many things, to give over, to suspend judgment, to receive from that willing kind of space, and also to step up, to step in, to go forward, to follow through from that action space. All of that can happen with this power. The power of will comes down to really choice and commitment when we're in those stages of taking the action. It helps us to stay the course and to be aligned. And to be willing to let go of our immediate thoughts or needs for that long-term vision that we hold. To stay committed, as Job's friends advised him when Job was going through a tough time. He said, "You will decide on a matter, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways." You will decide on a matter, and it will be established for you, and the light will shine on your ways. That's what happens when we use the power of will for good. Willingness magnetizes grace to us. It magnetizes guidance to us when we open ourselves and are willing. So do you feel ready and willing? In whatever area of your life you're working with that is maybe your growing edge, you can apply this power and the companion powers with it. As we learn more about these, we get them intellectually, then it's the next step is to embody them. The next step is to know them, to know where they are in our body, to begin to activate them, to use the colors. And all of this is helping us to light ourselves up and to become all that we have come here to be. That's why we're doing this. So entering these gateways of consciousness together, let's do this. The divine will can be expressed through us, through the I am in us, over and over again, if we allow it. I invite you to affirm that with me. I am divine will in expression.